Good morning, everybody. This is Tavo D'Arcy, and we're here at the Apostolic Christian Ministry Leadership Training and really thought-provoking comments of Crossbody Unity. First of all, let me talk about this is a address to the Christian that's born again, that believes the Bible, that's Bible-toting, Bible-pack, and not be one of them, but we're disagreeing with the systems. Some of the fruit now, after all these many decades of media TV affected ministry. There's life that's full, there's life that's going on, there's life that's society, and there's life that is dysfunctional. You can find it all in the Christian community, in the saints, and we are not accusing, but we're assessing and evaluating and being upfront. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, Proverbs 27:6, doctrinally. I don't accuse, I don't believe in accusing or naming names, famous names or not famous names. These are fellow Christians. I don't believe in making a TMZ tabloid expose and putting your name up there, their name up there, like they do to make money off that. I call that naming and defaming movement. I call that bash for cash, demas for dollars. So we're against that kind of method, but we can teach Christian doctrine and get it straightforward and do it humbly, really easily and treated, and saying nobody knows it all. I don't know it all, but I can tell dysfunction. I can tell the Pauline 2 Timothy 3:1-5 from such turn away type of fruit. And that's why I'm mentioning it, because time is short and this is for leadership. As I said, I respect everybody. I walk very carefully. I never talk against or allow gossip, because I come from a very traditional and loving family who is not racially prejudiced, who are in ministry, who are Bible quoting, but not religious fundamentalists or legalistic under the law. I never heard of character assassination. I never heard of big shot. I never heard of big time, and they weren't big time. So we're outside the systems trying to provoke new thought, so that people on, you can hear it, we're at the barista fellowship realm where life rubber meets the road, and that's why we're here, because we speak for the common man. We're trying to speak for some of the common people. I'm submitting this to the Christian, the leader in the Christian, the born-again Christian, as I said, but this is open to anybody listening. We welcome and value every faith. We respect you, your choices, because we understand how hard it is to say who and what is really Jesus. Who was he? Why was he here? What is this fruit that we keep meeting that says they're Christian when really it's bias or it's demeaning or it's not simple, it's so cagey? And so we're working on that, all of us, over time. So today I'm just going to mention that my pedigree is coming from the Deep South. My father, who was a Baptist pastor, was not a Bible thumper, but he was not filled with the Holy Ghost. He didn't believe in that. Later, my mom and my sister, my aunt and I did at different times. I was sort of like the leader of that first in college at the Jesus People Day. In the Jesus People Day, it was Billy Graham. It was simpler. It was quieter, a calmer time, even though there was racism and all the problems and Vietnamese war and all these fighting things. It was nothing as bad, as big, as everyday and present as the toxicity of this moment. Now, I forgive everybody. I've forgotten a lot of things, and I honor my parents, all kinds of Christians, black, white, and brown. I was there when it Lord chose me to set me in this time to be for such a time as this, because he told me at age 24 to study the body of Christ. It would be leadership, males and females, born again, speaking in tongues or not, believe the Bible, all colors, and that I would to know their music, their red flag buzzwords, and their pet peeves, and one day I'd build bridges of understanding in the last days for the community, and that's what we're doing now. Who could have seen what we, you know, Paul says it well, and he still says it for now. So we don't give up. We look forward to good stuff, moving in the Lord. Paul said back then, way long ago, he said, 1 Corinthians 2:9-10, the It Is Written says, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has entered into the heart of any man those things which the Lord has prepared for those who love him. But those things are revealed by the Spirit, and the Spirit searches all things, yea, even the deep things of God. So we understand the deep things. We want to grow deeper and wider and more far-reaching and effective whether you're affluent or not. And see, this is it. The common factor that I've discovered after all these years of toxicity is what I would call is the old hummy, Old and New Testament, called the respecter of person's spirit. And that's what really drove me to this, you know, brings me forth to be more careful, to be more respectful and more perceptive. We're full of the love of God that passes understanding, that respects people from the moment they lay eyes on them. They don't typecast them. They don't bigot against them. They don't have gender bias, misogyny. They don't have race, cultural bias, national bias, or religious bias, even vibe bias. I've noticed some people have vibe bias. I don't. So we want to just point that out, to respectfully submit that we want to work on that, all of us. And I also have never seen authoritarian ministry like I have in the last many years. What we don't want is more of the same old, same old. We don't want more of the talks. We don't want of the Bible beat down artists or the picketing of the funerals. And we don't want to have the jumping and calling and the dragging people through the street of anti-gay type thing. We want to have no PC, not compromise, but we want to have a born-again rebirth of respect. Tame down the dialogue. Tame down the demonizing. That's really it. Tame down the demonizing and the self-righteous, whatever this, no fear of the Lord, pompousness. That would be my thought. Bottom line, we're going after some new definitions. And what would be, and I submit it to me as well as yourselves, who has really seen it all? Who has really heard it all? Who really knows it all, been it all? Nobody, only Jesus. And that's why we got to begin again. We got to trust the Bible, trust the Lord that he says when Paul was saying, by grace for all of us, eye is not seen, ear is not heard, those things which the Lord has prepared for those who love him. But that means, however, there is a way of getting this. It says, but yet those things are revealed by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, for the Spirit, God's Spirit, searches all things, yea, even the deep things of God. That means you got to have a knowledge. If you're a Christian, you got to know him, not just about him, not just reading book, not just spending time doing ministry work, going to church, hearing good teaching, turning on that YouTube or the podcast. Instead, it's about being with him by yourself, getting to know him. Ephesians 1:17 is Paul. Now, Paul was not wanted by the first church. When he came along, he'd been Saul, an LP, and the LP spirit was murderous, attacking, avenging, righteous, attacking the first church. But when he got saved, he got moved upon by the Lord in the Book of Acts experience, and he met the Lord and got his illumination. The God of this world fell off, the shackles of misunderstanding and condemnation fell off, and he met the Lord and he grew. But he wasn't wanted by the first church to begin with, the first 12 who had been handpicked and modeled by, mentored by Jesus. That's still a passion, you know, the in crowd, the out crowd, because they were human. Jesus had gone. So Paul said, I didn't confer with them. I didn't ask flesh and blood. I didn't need their permission. That's an apostolic thought right there. And the Lord said, go to Arabia. So Paul, who'd been a Jew, immersed in the Torah, steeped in it. That's why he was an LP. He was moved upon by the Lord to go up to Damascus, Syria, where the Arabs were. Well, the Arabs are Gentiles. They never heard of Jesus. You know, he wasn't a savior back then. They didn't know all these things. So the Gentiles were up there, and Paul immersed in them. And to me, knowing Jesus and saying, I love everybody by faith, I love Gentiles, I love Jews, I love everybody, then that is one thing. But to live with them when you've never been around an Arab, you've never been around or immersed in them, you will notice that you are still biased. You will have the prejudice of your built-in culture, your hard drive from your family, your children, the environment. And that is part for all of us to know, that we have to know that we can like people by faith. We want to show God's love, but we won't get to know them or really like them till God cleanses us up and makes the shackles come off our hard drives, our memories and our love tank. So we want to teach on that we can get better at it. But part of it is getting to know people in a relationship, making it fun, making it loving, making it respectful. So you don't have to automatically love people like gooey, gooey love. Like, you want to respect them. The bottom line in this teaching, in this ministry, is you got to show respect. They are going to know it. If you are not respectful, they will read you. They are smart people out here, because I read you. And I know a lot of people, black and white, that have had a history of prejudice, of abuse, demeaning behavior, maybe psychic warfare from fellow Christians or moms and dads, abuse, domination. They will be really heightened in their perception of watching out for themselves to protect themselves. So the first line is you assess them, evaluate people. They're all different. See if you can trust them. You got to watch them. But including us. But then you want to evaluate them and show Jesus respect. You respect them. EORR, equal opportunity, real respect in the office of every human. So some of these pet words are really to dialogue, to share, to teach, to train, so that trainers and Christians and parents can train these too, like being respectful. You see somebody as a human that God loves, that Jesus died for, and you show your respect. You don't flinch with a bias. You don't act, oh no, I'm better than your tribe. That's all evil. That's the devil. That ain't Jesus. So we're trying to get organic back, which is in community, relationship, respect, in a fear of the Lord, a modest fear of the Lord. When I'm looking back and over my time, I remember I can go back because the Lord sent me, needed me right now for what I know and been through. I can look back to college at the Jesus People time, and I remember hearing the F word on campus for the first time. I remember hearing the F word when it was tiny. I remember, and now it's the major word. So a lot of things have gone on under the last 47 years of study of this. And we are pro it. And now I have a college. We're trying to get our college, but we need prayer power and people to get it organized. We want to have a full-fledged Bible college seminary for teaching some of this crossbody unity, which is fill in the gaps, basic complementary revelation and ongoing Bible study. So it's in the works. Just need more prayer and time. It's there, but not organized, because that's been my least, I've been on the move a lot. So God is so good. Right now, definitions. There's some cultural definitions we want to get out there, and we're going to try to teach who and what and why is Jesus. What is the organic? Who is, who was, and who shall be the organic Jesus Christ? Why be born again? Why have ministry? What is a ministry? Who is a ministry? What's the fruit really supposed to be according to the first church? What is authority? Who's got authority? Should it males, females, black, white, or brown? Who is over everybody? Who is not over everybody? What does that mean? Why bother with it? What is Hebrews 10:25? Go fellowship with the saints' command, compared with and contrasted by, let me add, because of the disrespect of persons. What is the difference between the command of Paul in the first church days, when they were just as evil, just as prone to do everything we do right now, no big difference except psychology and added human additives, media, world, flesh, and devil. All right, what's the difference between Hebrews 10:25 command, don't forsake fellowshipping with the saints, as some have, and the warning by Paul? Two warnings by Paul: from such turn away, this kind of fellowship, this kind of family friend, this kind of person, this kind of leadership staff, all right? This kind of you or me, God forbid. 2 Timothy 3:1 through 5. 1 Timothy 6:5. 1 Timothy 6:5 is the shorter one. And Paul says, turn away from anybody who measures you by money, that you are, they may talk big, they may be beguiling, but if they are measuring you, you're not blessed by money because you don't have a lot of it or you have none, get out. The second one would be too lengthy to go in. I want to try to make these shorter podcasts and have interviews eventually. 2 Timothy 3:1 through 5 is giant. It's negative. It means that is what I thought. You know, Paul always warned in the last days, perilous times would come. People would be lovers of themselves, all these things, in denial of God's goodness and, you know, the power of God, all these things. Well, I believed it would be for the sinner, the non-believer, the heathen, what is it were. But instead, it's the churches, the church, mega and micro, one at a time, not all. So we're trying to we want to provoke eagerly, earnestly, desperate thought to train the people. If you've got your people, I would say as a Christian minister, pastor, leader, you want to train them based on Paul, how not to be, 2 Timothy 1 through 5, how not to be 1 Timothy 6, 5, but mainly 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5 is a huge training point. How do you train them? By that, going, make sure they're not acting like that, that the results you're teaching from your pulpit, your media ministry, your mega church, your micro church is not producing that like it is now. Bias, disrespect for the visitors, ornery behavior, in a Demas sense, in it for the money. The other part would be you want to go through and you want to make sure you know the remedy for that. It's also Pauline put in the same chapter of 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5, and that is that the Bible, God's holy word, is inspired and profitable for teaching, for doctrine, for instruction, for reproving, and for correction, which is what I'm doing. This is the leadership call. And this ministry was started in the 80s, officially as the encouraging word, and with this Bible verse in an open book. Later, the symbols of the Christian, which is now Crossbody Unity, slowly matured and evolved into God saying, Ed, the prophet standing on God's word, balanced. The eagle is the prophet balanced on God's word, his holy word. There is the cross, the symbol of God's suffering and crucifixion for all of us and our sins, so we can accept it and go to eternity. But then there's the rays of glory in the background, the joy of the Lord, that keep on the eternal perspective that we're on our way to move to heaven and relocate one day, no matter how bad it is, no matter how great it is, no matter how sin conscious they may be or not. So we are pro the body of Christ, pro the humans. We are pro you humans, all of you in the body of Christ, pro you humans who are not in the body of Christ. That's your choice. But we are trying to help the humans in the body of Christ grow the Hebrews 10:25 and make it more like a command, not a duty. Oh, I gotta go. You know, people struggle with that. I struggle with that type of thought. Oh, I better go. You know, I gotta go. God will be mad. My mother will be mad at me. I feel guilty. No. We want to change that. We want to challenge that instead in the last days to say, I get to go. I get to go. I want to go because it's an option. It's not a legalism. It's not a stone-throwing accusation legalism like it's been packaged by too many in ministry at the local level for decades, all my life. Not my parents, not a lot of godly remnant, but ones who don't know they're off in their legalism and their accusation and their tone, the old-timey Pharisees throwing the book, we caught you. We got you, you're a church hopper. We caught them. They're not submitted. They're not blah, 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 like us. They're not submitted under us in our movement. Because see, that's it. This is what we know about. This is what we can teach on. This is what we've been through. This is what we can reprove from. Because it's not the same old body of Christ it used to be. And I don't know where it is in our nation, really. Because, you know, everybody's been around with showbiz and TV and watching all the famous people and the people. See, I don't think it's the famous people as much, half as much. It's not the famous people. It is because God needs people to be elevated, to be seen and heard. It's selective. Some are, some aren't. But I would say it's what the people, God's people, you and I, at times by mistake or just ignorance or plain old blasphemy, have chosen to do with some of this teaching on the word of God, of faith and movements and, you know, authority and worship and music like that. So we're just trying to bring it to a head. Bring it to a head to say, who in the what in the world, when I look around in Christian life and busy ministry and day-to-day Christian Bible followers and ministry offices, who is true and who is false in their representation of God's heart? His heart, his character, his respect for everybody equally, males and females, all colors and races, sizes, styles, believers and non-believers, and do I model that? After that, then you get on your rules, then you get the teaching of commands, but I'm not going to do that today at all. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to say, where's the heart? Where's the favor? Where's the love of people, the respect that used to be there, that can't, is there many times in denominationals, a lot more. Putting it out as a sila, we're putting it out, you know, as I have an online ministry, the onlinefellowship.us, onlinefellowship.us, all is online because of what went on when I discovered the Deep Southwest version of charismatic, you know, ministry. And we're not a charismatic. We got out in 2012. But when you find this dysfunction, on my journey since 24 on, the Lord had said, Tevo, when I'm sending you to study movements, which I went to Florida often, Dallas 15 years, was from Virginia Beach in Virginia, went up and down and spoke, North Carolina, South Carolina, Tulsa, Oklahoma many times, Missouri, wherever God sent me, you know, to learn what kind of different kinds of Christians are out there and different emphasis in doctrine, as well as control and not control. Then I learned, and on the way he said, Tevo, if you stumble upon something, if you come across something, because I'm not looking for it, I was just wanting to know the Lord more. He said, if you come across something that hurts people three times or more in different places, and if you come across the same teaching or the fruit that is hurting my good name as a safe place to go, says the Lord, that is my sign unto you. I let you see it because I see a lot more of it, and I want you to teach on it and train on it, and that is what I'm doing it. So we love them, we forgave them, and we keep quiet about all this if they'd stop producing this kind of masculine, dominating, whatever this is, and their people under them. Males and females do it, but it is basically the, I would name it the, call it out as the Christian version of the patriarchy at lower and higher levels. A lot of it has to do with income, and a lot of it have to do with celebrity and ministry, wanting to be famous, needing to be famous, but not all. Not everyone who's famous is like that. Not everyone who's non-famous is like that or not like that either. It's everyone should be assessed and evaluated by the fruit. Are they controlling? Are they backbiting? Are they demonic? Do they read you, never speak? Are they occult? So if I were to say the reason that we are here is to stir up the population in general in life to say, who and what is Jesus? Why do I need him? Who is organic Jesus? So I'll be teaching more on that in segments specifically, but organic in our definition today is just like the healthy eating. You want to be healthy. You don't want any unhealthy additives. Organic means who and what and why was the organic Jesus back in the day. No human mixture, synthetic additives. It was all voluntary fellowship. It was no put upon. It was no psychological reading people. It was no demeaning or determining, you know, they're not good enough to be accepted in our version of the fellowship of the saints, which they do now. It is that big and that bad. It's a bear to want to go. So we're out of the system, and we are pro you who've never been to church. You give to all these people or don't give anywhere. It doesn't matter about the giving. It's about who is Jesus right now. It's about who is Jesus. Why was he sent? What is ministry? What is being called? Whether you ever go to church or not, you can be called by yourself with people. But you want to find, you know, friends and fellowship to iron sharpens iron, bounce stuff. That's part of the Bible, but not dogma. So you be careful where you go because it's authority teaching gone haywire, along with this presumptive prophetic that reads you and demeans and is like big boss stuff. So the fruit is out there, but you got to choose what you want to get from yourself and what God tells you. And that's what I allow. You know, I want you to do like Paul. Paul told all of us, he said, to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. That means once you meet the Savior, you're saved, you know, then get to know him and get to know the Bible and talk about him with friends and have people you hang with that you can, you know, rub shoulders with that are good witness, help you out, mentor. But then he said, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling in case the person who's teaching you, like myself, like anybody, is making a big mistake. So we're pro and we're really wanting this to be a future church. I'm addressing a future church, whether the system is there or not, whether the psychological mind readers are there or not, or the big biased Pope-like people who are prejudiced against people, Eli's, are there or not. We want it for the Lord to be there. He can go do it anywhere he wants to. And also last, finally, I have Google chat, Google search, many things to make sure it was, you know, confirming what I was knowing by the Lord, and that I've confirmed that Ephesians 5:21, mutual submission and the fear of the Lord was the day, servant leadership at the top in offices, family and marriage. And I've confirmed, because I knew, you know, I said, you know, Jesus, where did these white people come from? Because Jesus Christ the organic Christ was from the Middle East. He had a holy fear of the Lord. Isaiah 11, 2 and 3 describes the prophet Jesus. It's he was filled with God's Holy Spirits, all seven. You can read them, might, power, understanding, the fear of the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord. Yet he would not abuse with them. He would not accuse with them. He was not a giant ego. So it said that the prophet, Jesus Christ, the apostle Messiah, the Jesus Christ we know about, it says he went about doing good, Acts 10:38, but he was filled with God's Holy Spirit, and that he delighted himself in the fear of the Lord and would not judge, accuser, judge by the sight of his eyes, nor make decisions based on what he heard. That means he wouldn't believe the evil report. He wouldn't be negative. He wouldn't be accusing with his prophetic wisdom and mature gifting. And he would not judge by the sight of his eyes, accuser, judge, jump people in public. I saw you. I caught you. You evil rascal, you. That type of thing that goes on right now in many ministries. It's pretty mean out there. But I'm going to close and let you think on these things. The Lord had said along the way, because I had a great dad and mom. I know a lot of people didn't that are in ministry, and they couldn't help that. So God said, you know, every time to be careful, to respect them, for God, you know, forgive us all, Father. We know not what they do, and they did. But I really believe in my bottom line, from what I've seen after all these years and years, the bottom line of the fault finding, the dysfunction, the treachery, the prophetic mind reading that is not really Holy Spirit but psychic, demonic. All this is about money. The bottom line, the fruit, is about protecting turf and money. That's it. God bless you. Have a great day. The joy of the Lord is our strength. It is mine. And I can go back from the Isaiah 11, 2 and 3 original Christ, the organic Jesus, and the prophet, and I can go to the Hebrews 1, 1 and 2, the modern New Testament Christ. It said that Christ, in Hebrews 1 and 2 is one verse of that, and then Hebrews 1, 9, Jesus Christ, the organic Christ, my Jesus that saves, had the oil of joy and gladness above his fellows. He had the oil of joy and gladness above his fellows. He wasn't rude. He wasn't psychic. He wasn't scared. He wasn't demeaning. He wasn't diminishing. He wasn't a totalitarian autocrat. So I did ask, in light of that, when did all this authoritarianism come in? Totalitarianism, chief I, big I prophet, and all this bowing, scraping stuff. And I asked that to Chat. I said, weren't they at Chat GPT AI this summer? Weren't they all Ephesians 5:21 in the first church, offices, leaders, pastors, family, fellowship, marriage? Yeah, it said it was. They were all mutual submission in the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is missing. No wonder they're not like that today, too many. All right, so it said, I said, well, when did these authoritarians come on the scene? When did that, were they in the first church? Totalitarianism, you better my way or the highway? They said, no, that came in later due to Rome and Greek influences. So that is out there today. We're trying to stir up anti-bias, anti-religious spirit, not hurt people, or accuse them. But they are, a lot of these people that malign people and never confront them are big boss type. They are really, to me, they've ruined my experience. They've ruined the experience for many people who are just reasonable and polite, the remnant, holy fear of the Lord. I mean, I really can't, and I know why a lot of people don't go to church in the young crowd, because they've seen too much. It's materialistic, it's playtime, and I don't know. So we're pro the people, but let's improve. We can do that. This is really basically Holy Ghost crowd fruit. It really is. We love you. We respect you. We pray for you. If you want prayer or if you want to chat, just let me know. We have some numbers, crossbuddyunity@gmail.com. And if you want to talk, we have a voicemail, 803-792-7070, 803-792-7070. And that is a voicemail and text, but that didn't mean I'll answer you. That means I'll get the message. God bless.